Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Autism Stories. I'm your host, Doug Bletcher, the founder of Autism Personal Coach. Autistic people are the true experts of the autistic experience, and Autism Stories is where we interview autistic people to learn from their stories, experiences, and get their insights. If you would like to be notified about each week's episode of Autism Stories, we suggest you subscribe on your favorite podcast listening platform. We would also appreciate it if you could give us a positive rating and review, as it will help others to learn about Autism Stories. I'm so excited to have Jamie Heidel return to Autism Stories to discuss her book, What Did I Do Wrong? An Accessible Guide to Preventing Traumatic Misunderstandings Between You and Your Autistic Loved One. We hope you enjoy today's conversation. Jamie, thanks so much for returning to Autism Stories.
Thank you so much for having me again, Doug. I appreciate it. Is this like the third time I've been on, I want to say?
The second time. Second time.
Okay, because I know I did something else with you too, but I forgot what it was.
It was with me, you, and the wonderful Becca Laurie Hector on the info dump files.
There's somebody who decided to do yard work right now. Right now, it's like they knew I was going to be on a podcast, and they're like, you know what? Let me make this more difficult for you.
For sure.
So I apologize if you hear that noise. I'm sorry.
Not a problem at all. Last time you were here on Autism Stories, we talked about your wonderful blog. Now you've used your talents as a writer to write a book. The book's title, What Did I Do Wrong? An Accessible Guide to Preventing Traumatic Misunderstandings Between You and Your Autistic Loved One. Why did you decide to write such an important book?
Well, one of the things that I noticed in my life, throughout my life, is that what did I do wrong? Like, just that statement in and of itself is something I said all the time. I always asked that same question. It was always, people would misunderstand me, even from childhood, people would misunderstand me, or I would misunderstand them. And I didn't even know at the time it was a misunderstanding. I was, as far as I know, everything was going fine and the conversation was just flowing naturally. And suddenly somebody would be angry with me. It was like I had given them an electrical shock, or like I'd slap them and they'd sort of recoil from me. And I never connected my behavior to their response. And it took me until probably I was in my 20s or 30s before I realized or even had an inkling that it was something I was doing wrong. So I thought everyone around me was just emotionally unstable. I'm one of those autistic people who some people have said, and I've asked this question on my page, on my Instagram page, I've asked people, you know, were you the type of autistic person who thought that something was wrong with you, or were you the type of autistic person that thought something was wrong with everybody else? And I got about a 50-50 split on that. And I was one of those people who I really was like, I'm surrounded by people who are very emotionally dysregulated. But at the same time, I was emotionally dysregulated too. But I always felt that I was emotionally dysregulated because everybody else around me was. So it was really hard. And I wasn't making those connections to why is this person acting this way? And it took many years and a lot of personal solo research to be able to figure out that it was actually me. I was the problem. You know, hi, it's me. I'm the problem. It's me. It was me. I didn't know it, but it wasn't really a problem so much as it was a miscommunication. And so that's how I ended up titling it, What Did I Do Wrong? And making a guide, because just there's just way too many misunderstandings between the autistic and the neurotypical community. And it doesn't just cause frustration. It causes trauma. It causes lifelong trauma.
Yeah. I definitely, when I was younger, didn't, like when there was a misunderstanding and didn't realize it, just kind of like you were saying, I definitely would freeze up a lot. And I was wondering, like, can you like think back to those times and what did your body and mind, like, how did you respond?
Oh, well, it would depend on the situation. It would depend on how angry the person got. I know that I can go through all four of the trauma responses, fight, flight, freeze, and fawn. So I've done every single one, sometimes all at the same time, which is interesting. I didn't realize that they were trauma responses, but I would say if someone, it really would depend on the energy that they were showing towards me. If they seemed hurt by something I said, I think I would respond differently than if somebody was, say, yelling at me all of a sudden. I think one of my responses was to ask questions. Now, that unfortunately made things worse. So someone would get upset with me about something I said or did, and I would say something like, well, what did I do wrong? Or what's wrong? Or what's happening? And my response has always been to ask questions because I don't understand and I need clarification. So because I'm autistic and ADHD as well, and I'm a bottom-up thinker, like many neurodivergent people, at least autistic ADHD people, I have to have all the details to understand what went wrong. So while a person, unfortunately, I didn't know this, but while a person is really emotional and upset over something I've said and done, I'm also asking them questions. You know, I realize now that that wasn't the best approach, but as a child and as a teen and a young adult, I had no idea. And I wanted the information not to stop them from feeling what they were feeling or to make excuses, but I wanted the information because if I don't have the information, then I'm going to keep doing or saying the thing that's upsetting to you, and I don't want to do that. So that was my attempt to understand it, and then once I understood it, I could fix it. And unfortunately, it just compounded things. You know, people go, well, you know what you did, and why would you ask me? And you can see that I'm upset, and you're asking me, and you clearly did this on purpose. And I had no idea what people were talking about. So I think it started out with me asking questions and then getting a stronger emotional response from people. And then depending on what their response was, it was either I would freeze up completely and shut down because I couldn't understand what was happening and my brain just got overloaded. I didn't understand. It's like I said something, they had a reaction I never expected. I started to ask questions because I wanted to understand, and they got angrier. And then sometimes I would shut down and cry, and then other times I would start arguing back with the person, like me and my dad all the time went back and forth. And I would start arguing back and forth with the person, and I just saw it as me defending myself because in my mind, I didn't do anything wrong. So I don't know where the sudden attack is coming from. So I'm like, I didn't do that. And then it would be back and forth until it would escalate to me having a meltdown. And then I would just be, you know, sobbing and heaving, sobbing to the point where I couldn't breathe and crying and rocking back and forth and all the things that you might expect from a meltdown. Of course, I didn't know they were meltdowns back then, and neither did my family, but yeah, I guess it would depend, dependent on the situation. But I know that almost inevitably it ended up in me in a shutdown or a meltdown. And then the other person who didn't understand me would sort of be like, okay, let's just move on. And I can't move on from things unless they're resolved. So that's another characteristic of me as an autistic ADHD person. And I've also asked that question on my Instagram page and gotten a lot of feedback. That's how they are too. So then the conflict ends. They've, I guess, moved on in a way that I don't understand. And I'm continuing to ask questions and to try to understand, now that everybody's calm, what's going on. And I still didn't get answers. And then I got told I was bringing up the past and I wouldn't let things go. So that just compounded my anxiety more, made me internalize everything. And then now I have complex PTSD.
You mentioned in the title of your new book that it's an accessible guide. What specifically makes this book accessible for those that want to prevent traumatic misunderstandings like you had with your family members and others?
At first I called it, actually my first title was A Comprehensive Guide, and then I realized it was more accessible because the way I have it, I actually have it with me. So I know I can't show you because this is a podcast, but one of the things that I did is I made sure that brevity is not my strong suit. I am the kind of person who writes a lot. I'm hyperlexic. I'm hyperverbal. When I write, I can't just write like a simple 500 word article to explain something. I have to write like a dissertation every time. So for me, when I wrote this book, I had to force myself to be pretty short with it and to make sure that it was concise and easily accessible. It's only about 80 pages. And I'm talking about, I think it's 60 things, 60 common misunderstandings, but each one of them is on one page. It's just one page. It gives you the autistic trait. It gives you the common misinterpretations that a lot of neurotypical people believe is what's behind the trait. And then it gives you what's really happening, and it just breaks it down in a few paragraphs. This is what's happening. this is what your autistic loved one is doing. This is what you think is happening. And this is what's really happening in our brains. So it gives you that like at a glance translation. I think that's what makes it accessible, is I'm actually not very verbose and wordy in this one. So.
Well, I love when you're verbose and wordy, but for me, the 80 pages is accessible because I can never finish a 300 or 400 page book. I'm sure I'm missing out in some of the most amazing manuscripts the world has to offer, but it's very difficult.
I think if it's fiction for me, I definitely can do that. I can get into, a whole series worth, but I've never really been able to do that with nonfiction books either. I guess it just depends on the nonfiction book. I shouldn't say that. There are a few that I like. But yeah, that's why, because I had to basically break it all down. Everything that I'd talked about, everything that I had talked about on my page and things I'd written about, I had to sort of condense into this book. So to me, that makes it accessible. Also, if someone's distressed and they just want to kind of look over, okay, what am I missing? And especially in the Kindle version too, the Kindle version of the book, there's clickable links. So you can just click and kind of go where you need to go right away instead of hunting around and trying to figure out what's going on.
Now, one of the things your book does is to help you decode commonly misunderstood autistic traits. What do you think are some of those autistic traits that you would say are commonly misunderstood?
Well, I wrote about 60 of them. So there are a lot, actually. I have an article out on Vocal that explains like the 10 commonly misunderstood traits, so it might be a little bit easier. If I can find that, I will look for it. But what I'm going to do now is actually kind of flip through my own book and see. Okay, so here's one that I would say an autistic trait: not missing you or forgetting you exist. So that could be an autistic ADHD trait. I'm both, so I'm not sure what the overlap is there. But I know that, like, I can read this out to you if you want. That might help you to understand how the book is designed and how it's set up, and also to answer your question, if that would work.
Yeah, live reading. Wonderful.
Okay. So autistic trait, not missing you or forgetting you exist. The common misinterpretations are being selfish, not caring about others, being cold and calculated, secretly hating everyone, holding grudges, and or thinking we're better than others. All of those things are things that I have been accused of throughout my life. And what I said is, what's really happening is this one, and this was one of the hardest ones, which is funny that I flipped to it, but this one is never particularly easy to write about because no matter how gently I try to explain it, it still makes me look like a bad person. Truth is, I'm okay with that now. People are going to think what they're going to think. And if I can help one autistic person be better understood by those around them, it's absolutely worth it to me. So let me give it to you plain. I don't miss people, and I often forget they exist. Does that make me sound like I have no emotional attachment to anybody or anything? Yep. Is that actually true? Nope. Not missing someone and or forgetting someone exists is due to a struggle in the brain, not the heart. It's called poor object permanence, and many autistic ADHD people have this. It's also called out of sight, out of mind. And it's the same reason food goes bad in my fridge every week. If I don't see it, it's not there. It doesn't exist. When I do see it again, I'm reminded that it's there and I'm happy about it again. Finding food in the fridge that I didn't know I had, but that hasn't gone bad, is like finding buried treasure. It's great. Obviously, people are much more important than food, but my brain doesn't register the difference. My heart does, but my brain doesn't. Important distinction. This means when I'm spending time with you, I feel all the warm, fuzzy feelings of affection and care. But when I'm not spending time with you, you blink out of existence. An image of you may pop fleetingly into my head, but it usually doesn't stick long enough for me to reach out. Your autistic loved one may also struggle with poor object permanence.
My poor object permanence really definitely shows up with the refrigerator, but more so with clothing. Like, I think I've lost half of my clothing, and then I will find it in my drawers. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. That happens to me too. I'll look and I'm the back of the closet. And I'm like, wait, I didn't get rid of this dress. I still have it. Oh, that's awesome.
Now, I've said this probably too many times to count, but for me, energy is my number one way to communicate. So I'm wondering how you see energy as a factor in misunderstandings that occur between us as autistic people and our loved ones.
I think that, and I can't speak for every autistic person, but from a lot of the information that I've gathered from talking to other autistic people on my Instagram page, is that energy is kind of our primary way of communicating. I know that for me, I get a sense of a person. I may not be able to read their facial expressions and body language very well, but I know when something isn't right. And I think it's really strange because in some ways I come across as completely oblivious to what other people are trying to convey. But another way is I almost seem psychic because it's like, well, how did you know that? And what I've noticed throughout my life is that I am, my energy, whatever part of me this is reading the truth of that person, their energy, essence, however you want to put it. But there's a feeling, and I feel it sort of in my heart and in my stomach. And then there's the way the person's presenting with their facial expressions, body language, their tone of voice. And 9 times out of 10, that's really inconsistent. So I think I am reading people accurately, but because neurotypical people speak to each other in a more nuanced, subtle way, with a lot of subtext, I don't necessarily read the subtext. So I take what's said to me literally, but I'm also feeling something that's different. If the feeling that I'm getting from them energetically, or however you want to put that, and the words are really, really mismatched, or their expression or something about them is really mismatched, I tend to get nervous around them, or I don't understand what it is that I'm feeling. And I, you know, when I was younger, I definitely would second guess myself. I'd be like, well, this person's saying they're feeling this way, but I'm feeling this. And then I would find out later on that that person is exactly how I thought they were by feeling their energy. And I knew that something wasn't right, or that they weren't the kind of person that they presented themselves to be. It is. And I also kind of speak in energy too. One of the things that I was saying about, you know, not missing people, it's not that I don't care, because I actually care very deeply. And I tend to feel very strongly about people right away if I make a connection with them. And my way of communicating with them is sort of energy. And that's just my primary way of communicating. And sometimes I think that I don't realize that the way I'm expressing myself isn't coming across to them either, because I may feel like I'm projecting this warmth or this caring or this interest. And if I look at myself in the mirror, my face would be completely blank, or my body would be doing something that indicates disinterest. So that's, you know, that must be really frustrating for them too, because I'm saying one thing, but also feeling another and not able to express it.
Now, nobody likes to be misunderstood. So I'm wondering, what have been some things you found in your life to have more effective conversations and reduce the frustration and aggravation in a lot of these communications and these situations?
A lot of it, I mean, to be completely and totally honest, really, really blunt, is I spend 80% of my time away from other humans. I'm not really around people, so that works out really well. But when I am, because I'm very introverted, and I spend time with my partner, who is also autistic ADHD, so thankfully they understand me very well. But when I am around other people, I have a tendency to tell them if it's appropriate and the situation warrants it, I tell them I'm autistic. And I advocate for my needs pretty loudly now. And I'm like, you know, I need you to do the, you know, I take things literally, or I'm not going to necessarily understand you if you use a lot of subtext. And I know sometimes people will still like hint at me. And then if they say, well, you should have known or whatever, if that happens, I'm like, no, I'm not taking that on. I'm not owning that. I told you that I cannot understand hints. So if you wanted me to get something, you want me to understand it, you have to speak to me this way. I'm not going to understand it. So it's technically not my fault, but my brain doesn't work that way. So I definitely advocate more loudly for my needs. I've been unmasking a lot and just putting it out there that, yes, I'm autistic. This is what it is to be autistic, at least for me. And it's different for everybody. And just trying to, I guess, and I don't like using this word, but normalize, like, this is, you are interacting with more autistic and ADHD people than you realize. You know, the general population isn't aware of how many people, they see one side of autism and think that's it. And yeah, that's what I try to do to kind of reduce those misunderstandings is tell people, this is the way my brain works. This is how I think. This is how I interact. This is why. I mean, I'll always give you an explanation. That's what I do. But a lot of people don't like explanations. They see them as excuses, but I will still give an explanation. And if they can't accommodate me as a human being, just the way I am and the way my brain is, then I don't have them in my life. It really is that simple.
And lastly, how can our listeners learn more about and purchase What Did I Do Wrong? An accessible guide to preventing traumatic misunderstandings between you and your autistic loved one.
You can find it on Amazon.
Well, Jamie, as always, I learned something new from you, whether it's your writing or conversations we had. So really appreciate your time today. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much to Jamie for the conversation. To learn more about Jamie and her wonderful book, please check out the link in the podcast description for this episode. Here at Autism Personal Coach, our clients are the experts, our coaches are the guides. The majority of supports for autistics are not helpful. They try to fix us, not support us. That's why many are confused when we say our clients are the experts, experts of their lived experience. Our clients are the experts for what has worked for them and about the things that they need and want in their lives. Our coaches first listen to our clients and then ask questions, offer resources, and strategize with our clients so they can get what they need to thrive. Would you want a guide in your life to coach you to get you the things you desire? If so, then visit autismpersonalcoach.com for more information. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Autism Stories, and if you did, if you could tell a friend, foe, or anyone you know about it so they could have the same enjoyable and educational experience as you when listening to Autism Stories, it would be very much appreciated. Until next time, I'm Doug Bletcher of Autism Personal Coach. Talk to you then.